Okay, welcome to the Senate Education Committee meeting. I'd like to call the meeting to order. Today is Monday, January 23rd. Time is 8 o'clock. In attendance, we have Co-Chairman Thomas and Vice Chairman Davis, and I believe that Senator Stevens is en route. So we do have a quorum to conduct business today. There's Senator Stevens right there. Welcome, Senator Stevens. This is our first meeting of the Senate Education Committee for the second session of the 27th Alaska Legislature. Just give you a short recap of where we're at. Last year we heard a total of 9 bills. We moved to 8 of those 9 bills. The only one we held over was Senate Bill 6, which had to do with pre-kindergarten school programs sponsored by Senator Davis and Senator French. We will have an opportunity to revisit that bill later on this year. We actually have a presentation on pre-kindergarten school programs in a joint hearing with the House on Wednesday. So if that's an area of interest to you, please join us on Wednesday for the joint session. So with that said, today we're going to hear Senate Bill 137, a new bill that was introduced by Senator Stevens pertaining to suicide awareness. Who'd I say? Okay, I'm sorry. Senator Davis, introduced by Senator Davis, suicide awareness and prevention. And again, our general practice is to hear a bill, hold it over. But depending on how the public testimony goes today and if there's no questions, this is such an area of extreme importance to the state of Alaska. And if the committee is okay, we will move the bill out unless there is reason to hold it over. So, Senator Davis, if you're ready, I'll turn the floor over to you to introduce your bill.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you for hearing this bill in a timely manner, and I'm very pleased that we're going to take this up today because it's quite important. And I also want to recognize that I have one of my aides here with me today. She's an intern from University of Alaska, Fairbanks. And she's interested in this. She lives in a village, and she said there's a lot of suicide going on in her areas, particularly with the teens. And she has a great interest in this bill, so I invited her to come and sit in. Of course, Tom is going to introduce the bill to you, and I want to say why I introduced this. I had an opportunity to go to a luncheon back in the summer, Tom and I, and the Jason Foundation people were there, and they talked about this particular bill being introduced in other states. And I looked at it and thought, I said, this is very well something that would be good for us. And immediately I went back and we asked that it be drafted. It's a very simple bill, but it would help a lot in the way that we would help teachers to understand better how to deal with the students that they work with every day. And so at that point, I'll just turn it over to Tom and let him give you the overview of the bill. It's very simple.
Thank you, Mr. Obermeyer.
Tom Obermeyer.
Good morning, Senators. Tom Obermeyer, staff to Senator Davis. The bill before you, SB 137, draft number 27LS0994M, is an act requiring suicide awareness and prevention training for certain school personnel. This bill, short titled the Jason Flack Act, requires mandatory youth suicide awareness and prevention training approved by the Commissioner, Department of Education and Early Development, to each teacher, administrator, counselor, and specialist who is employed by a school district, regional educational attendance area, or department each year for services to students grades 7 through 12. Training is important because suicide is the third leading cause of death for ages 10 to 24 and the number one cause of death for Alaskans under age 50 years. Awareness and education are key to prevention. Tying suicide prevention efforts into teacher training has proved very helpful in other states in reducing teen suicides. Most young people contemplating suicide show clear warning signs prior to the attempt. It is imperative that educators know how to recognize signs of at-risk youth and are prepared to intervene when they identify a problem. Recognizing that Alaska has by far the highest rate of suicide per capita in the country, particularly among teens, young men, and Alaska Natives, the Alaska Mental Health Board Advisory Board on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse, in partnership with the Statewide Suicide Prevention Council, the Alaska Association of Student Governments, the University of Alaska, and the Jason Foundation, have established goals, training programs, and resources for teachers, coaches, and staff in suicide prevention. The Alaska Bureau of Vital Statistics 2000 through 2009 reported the following suicide facts and statistics. 21.8 suicides per 100,000 Alaskans versus 11.5 suicides per 100,000 nationwide. That's twice the national average. 56.1 suicides per 100,000 Alaskan young men ages 15 to 24, and 141.6 Native young men and 50.3 young women in the same age group. 1,369 suicides were reported in 176 Alaska communities between 2000 and 2009. That's about 11 per month, 2.6 per week. 78% of suicides were committed by men and 22% by women, who made twice as many, but many more failed attempts. 90% of suicide victims experience depression or have diagnosable and treatable mental health or substance abuse disorders. The 2001 Youth Risk Behavior Survey, which just came out, revealed that in the last 12 months, 12.8% Alaska high school students reported they had seriously considered suicide, 8.7% actually attempted suicide at one or more times, and 2.7% attempted suicide resulting in injury, poisoning, or overdose treated by a doctor or nurse. Just as it takes a village to raise a child, it takes parents, teachers, mentors, and communities to support efforts to reduce suicides by developing environments of respect and connectedness among youth and adult role models. This will create in youth the needed hope, promise, and optimism to build healthy and appropriate relationships and behaviors. By requiring and making resources available for suicide prevention training for educators and school staff through this bill, the state of Alaska can ensure that youth at risk of suicide are more likely to be identified and receive help. Alaska has many state agencies, nonprofits, private citizens, healthcare providers, and policymakers working on this problem with programs and materials. This bill is but one of suicide prevention, one part of suicide prevention, which has proven successful in other states. The Jason Foundation, which was named after the tragic loss of the founder's son to suicide, has made available to Alaska and a limited number of other states its library of suicide awareness and prevention training materials free of charge. Not only will this bill and community efforts reduce suicides, particularly among vulnerable youth, but it will also reduce the number of self-inflicted injuries occasioned in over 1,200 hospitalizations per year due to suicide attempts at a cost of $9,000 per case, excluding physicians and specialist fees, as research and reported by the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority in 2001-2002. The same research found 75% of the cost of Alaska suicide hospitalizations were paid through public funding sources, and 15% were written off as losses by hospitals. Suicides and attempted suicides have taken an incalculable toll on individuals and families in Alaska. The burden of this tragedy is shared by society as a whole. With all of our efforts, the numbers have not decreased very much over the years. This bill, admittedly not a solution by itself, will help reduce the silent epidemic of youth suicide through educational and awareness programs that equip young people, educators, and parents with the tools and resources to help identify at-risk youth. And I will note that you probably have received in your hearing package a letter from Kate Burkhart in support of this bill, but some of the details I think are important. And She mentions in here that while the council endorsed the state suicide prevention strategy mandating training for all school district personnel, children and youth interact with more than just their teachers at school. Coaches, cafeteria staff, maintenance staff, librarians, and others all have a chance to support our youth and save a life. So if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. There's a great number of details in your hearing package, which I have been recently published and updated on the Alaska Suicide Prevention Plan, and I'm sure there are people in the room here that could answer specifically the connections between these agencies and organizations working on this problem. One thing I would mention is that it is not the attempt of the of this bill to mandate that one particular program or set of materials is to be used over another, and I think the Jason Foundation would support that, but they did mention that they will make their extensive library of materials and CDs, DVDs, whatever is necessary, online materials, available free of charge. So that may have some bearing on the most recent fiscal note you have on your desk. that I addressed over the weekend that just came in on Saturday, I believe, indicating that it could take as much as, although it's not a great deal statewide, $60,000. Two-thirds of that was for vendors' fees, which may not be necessary. I just leave it up to you to, or the department to handle that.
Mr. Chairman, I also want to say that prior to filing this bill, we did share it with the Department of Education to get their input, and we did get input from them. I suppose somebody's going to be here to testify. Not only did we give it to the department, but to various districts and making sure that people understood what this bill would do. And there, I don't know how many people have signed up to testify, but a lot of people will attest to that.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Davis. And we do have several people to sign up to testify. My question, though, is on the bill itself. I don't see a sectional analysis, which kind of is my guide to tell me what a bill is about. I'm assuming this is going to require the teachers, educators, to take additional training in order to be brought up to speed on suicide prevention.
It will require that, but it would be done at their leisure, not mandate a certain time that they have to do it all together. And I think somebody ought to be able to speak to that, and sexual analysis was not requested because there's nothing here. I think it's self-explanatory what the bill says. You only got a page and a half of information here, and the basic concept is to get the training. Now, if you want a special an analysis on it, we could get it, but we didn't request one.
No, Senator Davis, I don't need it. It's just that it is a helpful guide, I think, to the committee members to understand the bill in a little more detail. Okay, is there any questions for the sponsor?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I think we're going to be hearing from someone on the what are the at-risk signs. I assume someone will go into that at some point. Or that's a question I'll just throw out there. I'd be interested to know that.
Okay. Senator Stevens, I think we do have some people that will be able to address that.
And we have some information
okay. In
here.
Anything else for the sponsor? If not, then let's go ahead and go right into public testimony. It looks like we do have one here in Juneau who signed up to testify. Actually, there may be more. I'm not sure where everybody's at. So let's go with Kate Berthart. Kate is here, and I have several that looks like are here for questions. Diane Casto, James Galanos, and Cynthia Curran, all here for questions. Is that correct? Okay, great. Okay, Kate, welcome, and the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Kate Burkhart, and I am Executive Director of the Statewide Suicide Prevention Council, as well as the Alaska Mental Health Board and the Advisory Board on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse. Before I start my comments, I'd like to preface them with, I'm here today representing the Statewide Suicide Prevention Council, and my comments are on behalf of the council and not the Department of Health and Social Services or any other entity. Our chairman, William Martin, sends his regrets. He would have liked to be here to speak with you, but he is out of state. I'd like to address, through the chair, Senator Stevens, your question about the warning signs. You have attached in the sponsor's packet a copy of the statewide suicide prevention plan. The warning signs are on page 37, and we actually included a card that can be cut out and put in your wallet that you can carry with you that talk about the warning signs, like disclosing a desire to die or kill oneself, looking for ways to accomplish that. So all of that is in your plan, and I encourage all of you to cut out the card. You also have in your packet the council's letter of support for SB 137, and so what I'd like to focus my comments on are resources available to support school districts should the bill be enacted, because that's a concern. Anytime we impose a mandate on a school district, how are they going to meet the mandate with the least possible burden? There are a wealth of resources available here in the state. My understanding is that the Jason Foundation is online, so I won't speak to their resources. We are excited to have an affiliate here in Alaska as a new addition to our suicide prevention system. In addition to what they have to offer, the Department of Health and Social Services Division of Behavioral Health offers a gatekeeper training program at no cost to the recipient. And it's based on evidence-based practices for training of people on how to identify the warning signs, how to identify resources available, how to intervene appropriately and connect a person to the appropriate resources and keep them safe until they can find the right services to deal with whatever it is they're struggling with. So that's an opportunity for school districts to not only meet the mandate in SB 137, but to exceed it and at no cost to the district. There are other evidence-based trainings available in the state of Alaska, including the Applied Suicide Intervention Skills Training, which is a nationally recognized evidence-based model. It's coordinated through the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium and is available statewide through ANTHC. That is not at no cost, but they do work with the training recipients to try to minimize the obligation. We also have a cohort of mental health first aid trainers here in the state. That's an internationally recognized model that looks beyond just suicide risk to other issues related to a mental health crisis. And that's coordinated through the Trust Training Cooperative. I also want to point out that Governor Parnell has prioritized this issue, and there is funding in his proposed budget that would include a pilot training for all high school educators and staff, everyone in the high school secondary school system, based on an interactive web-based model that has been shown very effective through peer review and research. So there is a way for school districts to meet this obligation at no cost to them. I mean, it costs to the department or other people. There are opportunities for them to meet this obligation and to exceed it by accessing evidence-based trainings. And that's the council's priority. The strategy that's referenced in our letter of support is that all school personnel will be mandated to receive suicide awareness and prevention training because the earlier that you can work with a youth to deal with those contributing factors like depression and substance abuse and violence at home and other adverse childhood experiences, the quicker you can help them get on the right track to where we're avoiding those escalations that can lead to suicide. So we support SB 137. We think it's a great first step, and we thank Senator Davis for her work on this, and we look forward to working with the Department of Education and others to make this work for school districts. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Kate. Questions? Senator Stevens.
Well, thank you, Kate. I appreciate your comments. This is such an enormous problem in the villages that I represent, but also in the larger cities, too, and even in my neighborhood. So have you yourself gone through this training that you're talking about having teachers go through?
I have been through a pretty lengthy demonstration of the Cognito training that we anticipate in the pilot that I referenced. I haven't completed the training. I've been through about an hour-long demonstration. It has several learning objectives. It takes several hours. I've also been through other trainings too. Where Alaska has an asset that I think we don't always talk about as much is that we have a training to fit almost any person's needs. I don't provide direct services, so I don't really need the more intensive what to do if someone presents and they're in immediate crisis, because I don't often interact with people that way. So I have the more generalized training. But for folks like teachers that are interacting with youth on a regular basis, we have a variety of different trainings that can meet their needs.
Sure. So what I was trying to get at was the time. The time, whatever it is probably well worth it. But just give us an idea of what we're asking of our teachers. We're asking 8 hours. We're asking 3 weeks? What would be the time requirement?
The bill anticipates 2 hours. The gatekeeper training normally is 2 days, but can be tailored to a shorter period of time depending on what the recipients want. Our gatekeeper training, James Galanos, gatekeeper trainer James Galanos is in the room. And so he's actually the expert, not me. The mental health first aid training is also 2 or 3 days, depending on how intensive they want to be. So that far exceeds the demands of the bill. The Jason Foundation products, and again, I'll let them speak because they're the Jason Foundation, they are shorter in duration. The Cognito pilot takes about, it's self-directed, so depending on how quick you are, it can take 4 to 6 hours, but it's self-directed, so you can do it in 15-minute chunks if you wanted to. That's why we thought it would be appealing to teachers, because they can do it when it's convenient with them and their schedule and not having to take class time away. And I apologize, I should have answered that through the chair.
Okay. We're all getting back in the groove here. You're doing fine. Anything else, Senator Stevens? Okay, very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Kate? And I apologize, too, Senator Davis. I should have asked if your intern wanted to testify, and I believe she does. Is that correct? So please come on up. It's Katya Wasili, is that correct?
Or
Katya. Okay. All right. Well, for the record, if you again could tell us your name and your affiliation, please.
My name is Katya Wasili. I'm an intern for Senator Davis's office for this session, and I'm also a student at UAF. And I'm from Pilot Station, Alaska, and White Mountain, Alaska.
Okay.
I wanted to give voice to the particular circumstances in rural Alaska and how this bill, I think, would be especially effective there. Because I've lived in different villages throughout western Alaska, from Dillingham area up to Barrow, nine villages in total. And I've gone to school in those villages. And experienced, and suicide has affected my life through acquaintances that I've had and through relatives that I've had, and it's a heartbreaking thing, and it happens much, much too often. And I think that this bill would be particularly effective in rural Alaska because of the way that teachers have such close interaction with students, not only in the classroom, but also in other community settings. A lot of times students come over to teachers' homes and visit, spend evenings there. Teachers are the coaches for different school sports. They coach academic programs. They interact with students for hours after the school day is over. So they have a connection with students in which they would be at an opportune place to recognize symptoms of suicide. Where teachers who go home after the school day in the city and don't see their students in the evening and during weekends might not have that opportunity. So this bill, I think, would do a lot in rural Alaska to help people who are in a position to help their students who might be struggling with internal issues overcome those issues and get them the help they need. And that's all I wanted to say today.
Great. Well, thank you for your testimony. Questions? Senator
Stevens. Well, thank you, Katya. It's very brave of you to come here and testify. It just appears to me, I'm no expert in this area at all, but that these incidents occur sort of in waves or like copycat. Mm-hmm. Is that true? I mean, am I right, or is it?
There are cases in which it does. I've known of a case in Shaktulik, actually Shaktulik, Alaska, where there is a suicide pact. So this group of friends agreed that they would all commit suicide together. And one of them did, and there is a great fear that the rest of the people who had made the pact would do that also, and some of them attempted it. It does, I think a lot of times there's this pressure, I mean, or maybe people start a trend and someone might notice that their peers are getting attention because they've attempted suicide, and maybe they want that attention for themselves as well. So I think it does happen in waves.
So an immediate response might help alleviate further incidents of suicide.
That's very true.
Yeah. Thank you, Katya.
Thank you. Thank you. Any other questions? Seeing none, thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you.
And hopefully your boss isn't too hard on you. So. Okay, we do have some folks out of state, and I think because of the time difference, it's, I'd like to go to them first. So we have Clark Platt in Tennessee with the Jason Foundation. Are you with us this morning, Mr. Platt?
Yes, sir. Glad to be here, and thank you for having let me have a few minutes to address this very important bill.
Sure. Okay, if you could, just for the record again, state your name and your affiliation for us, please, and then proceed with your testimony.
My name is Clark Platt. I'm the president and CEO of the Jason Foundation.
Okay. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. First of all, I appreciate the committee's attention on this very important bill. The name, the Jason Platt Act, Jason is my son. I lost him on July the 16th, 1997, to what you've heard described as the silent epidemic of youth suicide. Jason was not your valedictorian by any means. He was a BC student. In fact, if he came in with too many A's, I got suspicious. But he was a good athlete, had a lot of friends, no drug or alcohol problems, yet still on July the 16th, 1997, he became a statistic. This silent epidemic of youth suicide. After that time, we started the Jason Foundation in 1997 to be an educational force. We do not provide counseling. We provide educational programs for students, for teachers, educators, youth workers, and for communities. But I'm calling today to testify about SB 137. In my opinion, it's the single most important action that a state can take in addressing the matter of youth suicide. As others have said, it's not all-inclusive. It is not the single thing that you can do that will stop the program. But as a single most important act that a state can do, I truly believe that training our educators is that single impact. As mentioned in the National Strategy for Youth Suicide Prevention, or for Suicide Prevention, that the majority of states use as their model for suicide prevention, training of educators is highlighted in several situations as a key to addressing the issue of youth suicide. Teachers, regrettably, sometimes have even more contact with our young people than the parents, and they are better equipped many times to see the changes in behavior before a parent will. So training them is a very important aspect. We have passed the Jason Platt Act, or SB 137, there in six states. It started in Tennessee in 2007. Since then, it's passed in Mississippi, Louisiana, Arkansas, Illinois, and California. And only one state passed that with a fiscal note, and I would like to address that later. All five states except California passed it without a fiscal note, and in all five states, it's operating very well without the fiscal note. California only did it because in their legislative model, they cannot pass any legislation without some type of a fiscal note with it. As far as results, we're just now seeing some of that. Of course, Tennessee being the first, other states in 2008, 2009, so we're just now having enough time to see some results. I think it should be noted, though, and in Tennessee in 2009 and the prior years, youth suicide rates went down over 31%. In 2010, the most recent report, youth suicide rates went down 17%. And I truly believe, it's not the Jason Foundation, but I truly believe that it's the result of the training of the educators. Here in Tennessee, every teacher has to have the training every year. That's 74,000-plus teachers who on an annual basis become armed with information, tools, and resources to early identification, as the gentleman said earlier, early identification and addressing those identifications and those early warning signs gives you the best chance for success. So we're very proud, along with the American Foundation of Suicide Prevention, we're presenting this together in Alaska, and we're very excited about it. I think it will make a difference. I think it can be passed, as it should be, in my opinion, without a fiscal note. We trained last year just ourselves a little over 150,000 teachers. About 60% of that was through our online library, and the other 40% through staff presentations or the DVD packet that we make available at no cost. I think those are especially, as I was there and we opened our office at North Star, I was especially think that would be monumental for Alaska because of the challenges of geographic locations of some of the remote tribes and the schools in those areas, to be able to do it through a DVD facilitator packet or online. But I would like to stress, I think the one person who testified here before me, that this is not about one person's program. In fact, one entity by itself will fail in trying to address youth suicide in any area, let alone with the elevated risk factors and the elevated statistics of Alaska. But working together, pulling together, offering different programs that will fit different communities' needs, as the other person testified, the ones we offer are all free. They're 2 hours in length. They were tailored to fit the in-service requirements for most states, where they have 2 hours to get a CEU credit. So that's what it was based upon. But by all of us working together, I think that we can start to make sure these could be provided throughout the state without any kind of cost to the schools, to the teachers, or to the state government. I would say that by passing this SB 137, that it will save lives. We've seen that. We've had reports. We've had emails. We've had teachers contact us telling us about a young person that would have slipped through the cracks had they not received the training. And so I think this is, by passing this bill, there'll be young people alive 12 months from today that would not be alive in Alaska because you've reached out and helped train the teachers. So I appreciate the opportunity and be glad to answer any questions, but I appreciate your interest in wanting to save the young lives in Alaska.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your testimony, Mr. Flatt. Is there any questions for Mr. Flatt? I don't see any. We do appreciate you staying online and being with us this morning, or I guess it's almost lunchtime there, and appreciate you setting up this Jason Foundation and working with the other states on this good cause.
Well, I'm hoping my southern accent didn't bother my testimony too bad.
No. We won't hold that against you. Okay, so let's thank you again, Mr. Flatt. Let's come back here to Juneau, and let's see. I think we'll go to Sharon Strutz, who I believe is either in Norton or Homer. Sharon Strutz, yeah.
Hi.
Welcome.
Good morning. My name is Sharon Strutz Norton.
Okay.
My family's lived in. Hello.
Yeah, I'm sorry. So your name is Sharon Strutz Norton, and you're in Homer. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Very good. Yes. If you could, for the record, state your name again, since I've messed it up, and your affiliation, please. Thank you.
Okay. My name is Sharon Strutz Norton. My family's lived in Alaska for many generations. I live in Homer. I'm a registered nurse with a degree in child and family psychiatric nurse practice. I'm a mother and a grandmother of 10. While I'm a member of the Alaska Suicide Prevention Council, I speak today as a concerned Alaskan, an Alaskan family suicide survivor since 2005, and as the board secretary and AFSP legislative advocate for the Alaska chapter of the American Foundation of Suicide Prevention. I'm testifying in support of Senate Bill 137. In the past, I had a booth on suicide awareness and prevention at the Alaska, at the Homer Health Fair, and several youths ranging from middle school to high school shared stories of friends being stressed or depressed for a variety of reasons and talked of suicide. Prior to and since that time, unfortunately, I've heard many times of youth attempting and completing the act of suicide in Homer and throughout the state of Alaska. This fall, when I spoke at the statewide school counselor conference, counselors discussed the need for school staff suicide prevention education. Sadly, they shared many stories of youth attempting and too many completing the act of suicide, how each attempt and completion affected other students' ability to concentrate and learn from their studies while grieving the loss of a friend or family member, with many suffering repeated annual losses. AFST and I as an individual support the points for educating school personnel. School personnel interact with children and teens on a daily basis and are in a prime position to recognize signs of suicide and make appropriate referrals. The National Strategy for Suicide Prevention specifically indicates teachers, school staff, and school health personnel as key gatekeepers. School personnel as gatekeepers are in a position to identify students at risk of suicide and refer them for appropriate treatment. Implementation of a variety of suicide prevention and intervention training models have demonstrated increases in perceived knowledge about suicide, confidence and belief in their own competence, likelihood that they would approach a student perceived to be at risk, an increase in their ability to ask directly about suicide, to be persuasive about getting help, and to provide an appropriate referral. In conclusion, just 2 days ago, the U.S. Department of Health and Social Services at HealthBeat 2012 discussed the research from the University of Washington where they studied 883 18 and 19-year-olds who had attempted suicide. Almost 40% said their first attempt was made before high school. The earliest was age 9, after which there was a sharp increase in 6th grade, and the numbers continued to rise, the first attempts peaking at 8th and 9th grade. I believe that the state supporting and passing a bill mandating annual school personnel suicide prevention education will have significant impact on youth suicide outcomes. Thank you for your time.
All right. Well, thank you, Sharon, for joining us this morning. Any questions? Senator Stevens.
Oh, thank you, Sharon, for your comments. Say I was a teacher at a high school and I overheard kids talking about suicide. What would I do about it? What would happen that would help that student?
Well, if you were a teacher, you would recognize changes over time, and if you believed that they were at risk, you could refer them to the counselor, keep them safe while you were referring to them to the counselor, and getting other people to assist you in addressing the risk.
Well, thanks, Sharon. And I guess maybe I'll ask some others the same question, but particularly if you were in a rural village, one teacher in a school of 15 kids, what would happen in that instance, do you know?
When I talked to the school counselors, they did say that there was, that sometimes they were overwhelmed with the addressing the needs of the children. But they have resources. If they had education in the school for the teachers and other school personnel, they would be able to form a unit that would be able to keep that child safe, and the state has resources that they could help them address that need.
Well, thank you, Sharon, through the chair. And I guess what I'm concerned about is particularly smaller schools where you don't have a counselor and you're a long ways away from counselors and professionals to help you out, and maybe the department would address that at some time later. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Senator Stevenson. And the department is here for questions, so perhaps after we're done with the public testimony, there may be other questions that we can ask them at that time. Okay, let's move on now to Deborah Bond from Seward. Deborah, are you with us this morning?
Good morning, and thank you for the opportunity to speak before you. And my name is Deborah Bond, a parent, and I have lived in Seward for 40 years. I lost my 16-year-old son, who was a sweet, kind, gentle boy, to this dreadful word called suicide. January 1st, 1996 was the last time I saw my son or heard him say his last words, "I love you." He was a freshman in high school and was bullied by his peers, as his father was a police officer. He rebelled in school and later learned he was ridiculed by his teachers for his negative actions. He was crying, and no one understood. I have come to realize suicide is one of the most difficult and painful ways to lose a child that was loved so dearly. We are left with so many unanswered questions and so many mixed emotions. How could my son, who was loved by his family and friends, do such a selfish thing to us? Why didn't we, as his parents, friends, or teachers, see this child needed someone to listen to him? Two of his classmates had a very difficult time with his death, and one tried to take her life, but was not successful. This was very painful to watch. We realize we are all responsible for our own choices and actions, but these children don't have the tools, and neither do our educators. Suicide is extremely painful. Please pass Senate Bill 137 to educate our educators to help save our children. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Deborah, for that testimony. I know that, that has to be tough, and we do appreciate you being with us this morning. Any questions?
I'm sorry, Ms. Sharon, but Sharon is the first one to mention a connection between bullying and suicide, and that's something that is I'm often concerned about, too, I've heard about, and so I think that's a good point, that we need to listen to that as well, and there are several bills that deal with the bullying, and as Senator Davis has said, this is not the only answer. There are several answers out there and several approaches that need to be made, so I appreciate Sharon's or Deborah's comments and making that connection with bullying, which is, I think, a very important issue.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Senator Stevens. Thank you again, Deborah, for joining us this morning. Okay, let's go to Bethel. James Baila?
James.
If you could correct your pronunciation of your name for me and your affiliation, please, James.
James Baila? The affiliation I'm testifying on behalf of is the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, AFSP, the Alaska chapter. I'm an itinerant school social worker for the Lower Kuskokwim School District, but I am testifying on behalf of AFSP. We are in support of the Senate Bill 137. I'd like to thank Senator Davis for introducing the bill. As an itinerant school social worker, I am a registered trainer for the ASSIST, the Applied Suicide Intervention Training. And I'd just like to say that we have conducted trainings in the school at their request, which teachers, both classified and certified, have attended with students and communities in the remote villages. And in fact, one of the teachers last year in December 2010 did not want to attend the training, but he found out after the training, within 24 hours after the training, the skills that he learned actually did save a student from committing suicide that following day. There are many more requests in the remote villages that are in this area that are requesting the training, but once again, there are several programs out there that will be able to educate teachers and cooks, maintenance, to recognize the signs of suicide. So this would be a very, very valuable training. No, thank you.
Okay. Well, very good. Thank you for joining us this morning. Question
okay.
for James. Seeing none, again, thank you for your testimony from Bethel. Okay, let's.
You're welcome.
Let's now go to Anchorage and Ann Shack. Ann, I believe you're also with the North Star Behavioral Health Center in Anchorage, but also affiliated with the Jason Foundation.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Chairman and committee members, and thank you for this opportunity. My name is Ann Shack, and I represent North Star Behavioral Health. We work with children and adolescents from throughout Alaska in need of acute behavioral health services and also residential treatment. I also represent Alaska's first affiliate office of the Jason Foundation, which is dedicated to the prevention of youth suicide through education and awareness. With Alaska's youth suicide rates alarmingly high, we appreciate this opportunity to voice our support for this bill. School personnel are in a key position to identify at-risk youth and connect them with support. We look forward to being part of the efforts to equip educators and school personnel with the tools and resources to help identify and assist at-risk youth. Thank you.
Great. Appreciate that testimony. Questions? Okay. Seeing none, thank you for joining us this morning, Ann. Okay, let's come back to Juneau, and I think we do have somebody here representing the teachers, John Alcantara. No stranger to the Education Committee. Good to see you again. Welcome to Senate Education Committee 2012.
For the record. Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for having me up here. For the record, John Alcantara, do government relations for NEA Alaska, 13,000 members, about 8,200 of which are certified teachers. We are in support of Senate Bill 137. Appreciate the work of the sponsor, Senator Davis, and the fact that they have met with us over the interim in the fall to address this piece of legislation. Actually, President Barbin Gayak was here last week and mentioned to several lawmakers and senators that that really the bill could and maybe should include other personnel in the schools. That she specifically mentioned at Bethel Regional High School that head custodian there is probably one of the most trusted adults in the school that young people talk to. Certainly, as a father of four children, the raw testimony of today is difficult and interesting to listen to. I mean, I've as a family, a large family of 10 kids and over 60 nieces and nephews, I've never been impacted by suicide, but have been impacted by a teenager's homicide. And you remember those dates, like February 5th, 2003, and Ms. Bond said January 1st, 1996, and Mr. Flatt, July 16th, 1997. I think this bill should not have a fiscal note. Maybe the outlying years of the $5,000 in FY14 through 18 are impossible to alleviate, and that staff time has to be represented. But I think the vendor time, that I believe was $40,000 in FY13, certainly can be done away with either work from the Jason Foundation has been done. Cognito was mentioned by somebody else, and I think the Student Government Associations have done a lot of research on what may work. And I think to the Senate President's questions earlier, I think whether it's a two-hour window or a longer window if people take interest in it, I think kind of individually people will decide. I kind of hearken back to the 80s when I worked as floor staff down here in the Senate chambers, and you had to have a 8-hour CPR class sometimes there's a 3-hour CPR class, and sometimes there's even longer CPR classes for folks that go into more law enforcement and other things. So I guess in closing, even all these years later, I really appreciated the testimony of Katya Wassily from Senator Davis's office, but probably 24 years ago, and I'm guessing I don't have it in front of me, but there was an award-winning series, The Daily News, called A People in Peril, that talked about suicide, even I believe 1987, although maybe Senator Davis's staff can find the exact year. And it mentioned Alakanuk specifically, and the 8 suicides that occurred in that small village in 16 months, which would be the equivalent of every student at Chugiak High School in Anchorage committing suicide. So it's a raw topic for sure. But NEA Alaska members certainly support it. It's been mentioned to the board of directors. NEA elected members, 450 delegates, meet this weekend at the Captain Cook to set policy for the year. They're elected by the 13,000 members, and this topic will come up, but it's been supported by the board, supported by President Barbin Gayak, and I appreciate your efforts today. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, John. Questions?
Thank you.
Seeing none. Thank you. Okay. Was there anyone else here in Juneau who wanted to testify? I think that's everyone on the list here in Juneau. Anyone else online? Okay. Seeing no one else, this is certainly a subject of great importance, and I don't want to cut off anybody from testifying on this, but I think we have had a pretty good, broad, diverse group of people testifying. So I'm going to go ahead and close the public testimony. Obviously, this bill continues on to finance and And we do encourage all your emails and phone calls and however else you want to and can communicate with us. I think let's go ahead and take some questions for the administration. I know Senator Stevens had one. There's been some question about the fiscal note and why it's necessary. I don't know if that's something that we necessarily need to spend a whole lot of time on since this bill does go on to finance. But Senator Stevens, I believe you had a question on implementation. Was that the?
Just a concern, Mr. Chairman. Maybe the department could address it. I mean, I do understand. You know, if you're in a larger school system with counselors and psychologists to speak to students to help solve this problem, that I understand how that process works. I guess my question would be, what happens in a smaller school with just one teacher? How does that teacher get help for his students and being far away and that sort of thing?
Okay. Are you the lucky ones get to answer the question? So go ahead for the
good morning, Chair Meyer and members of the committee. Cynthia Curran, Director for Teaching and Learning Support, Department of Education and Early Development.
And Les Morris, Deputy Commissioner of the Department.
Through the Chair, Senator Stevens, at the Department, we have a health education team that works with our school district personnel so that in a smaller building, they would be able to contact our staff, and our staff could put them into contact with some resources, keeping in mind that many districts do have at least one person within the district who is charged with the responsibility of being a counselor, an itinerant counselor, that sort of thing.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate those comments, Cynthia. And as I look at that list of, we referred to page 37, that list of warning signs of suicide, I mean, some of them really jump out at you, talking about wanting to kill yourself, looking for ways to kill yourself. But things like being anxious or agitated or extreme mood swings, I mean, what high school student doesn't have that? So I guess my question is, how does a teacher really figure out who's in jeopardy and who isn't? Because there's so many kids have behavior withdrawal, isolated, anxious, alcohol, drugs, all of those things apply to so many kids.
Through the Chair, Senator Stevens, being aware of what constitutes risk factors and knowing your students and seeing differences in the way they're behaving helps the teacher know who's at risk. Being educated toward these risk factors would also help a teacher understand and be able to recognize them.
Well, thank you. Very important, and I think parents should be aware of these as well.
Yes.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you for the question, Senator Stevens. Any other questions for the administration while they're here?
Are they going to speak to the fiscal note?
Do you guys want to talk to the fiscal note? Go ahead. And tell us why. We've heard testimony today, which is a bit unusual, on that it's not necessary. So could you let us know why you think it is, please?
Through the Chair, Senator Davis, as we were preparing the fiscal note, we were looking at the way that the department has dealt with mandated state trainings in the past, and in order to help teachers be able to access them rather than having a district-wide in-service, we have gone to what is called an e-learning module, and this type of training would qualify for an e-learning module, so that the costs in the fiscal note were related to the development of a course for an e-learning module that the teachers could access at their own time. Without knowing the details of the different types of trainings, we thought it was important to put this forward so that it could be deliberated. Also, with our e-learning modules, we have the ability to track who has taken the trainings.
Senator Davis, any questions on that?
Well, I'm glad to hear that, and it might be necessary or it might be good to have that. At the time that this bill goes before finance, I suppose you could go further into that. But there are other online things out there available to teachers that they can use while that is being developed or whatever you're doing there. Because I met with some of the high school students who are the leaders in the schools, and they said, Oh, we already know where you can get the information online. You can get it for $5,000. Here's the name of it. This is what you can use. All those things are available to us, and maybe we should get together and talk about the various things that's out there. One teacher might prefer one over another, so they'd have a choice of what they could choose from. And, you know, $60,000 is not much to put forth to save lives of our kids. So I don't have a big problem with that if that's what you want. If you feel it's necessary, then I want you to defend it when it goes to finance, saying that is required because you feel that would enhance the program. No problem with that.
Through the chair, Senator Davis, thank you very much. And I will go back to the department, and we will discuss and deliberate on this and see what we can do with the fiscal note.
Right. In the meantime, we'll provide you with the other ones that we have so that you'll be aware of them also.
Thank you very much.
And before you go out, I'm not trying to slap the department, but the one thing that bothers me is when bills come forth that we feel are important, it seemed like the Department of Education would want to take a stand on a bill, not just come here to answer a question, but say they are supportive or not supportive or what changes need to be made or some statement need to be made other than saying, oh, well, we're here to answer questions. I don't know if you want to speak to that, but that's my feelings.
Go ahead, Les.
Again, Les Morris, Deputy Commissioner at the department. And I've actually spoken to the commissioner about this particular bill. The commissioner, I know, has met with you and your staff about this. We recognize that suicide is a problem in Alaska, and we recognize also, though, that there's many, probably many solutions. This is certainly beginning to work toward a solution. We think it's premature, frankly, to comment on any one particular piece of legislation. But however, we think that the deliberative process that you go through, engaging people from the public like you did, is part of what we should be paying attention to as we figure out what the right solutions are. So our lack of saying that we take a particular position on this bill has nothing to do with not recognizing this is a major problem, there are many solutions, and this may very well be one solution that gets deployed after the legislature deliberates on it.
Okay. Very good. Thank you both for your testimony. And Senator Davis, if you will get with the administration and kind of scrutinize the fiscal note a little bit. We're fortunate we do have Senator Thomas, next, the co-chair here, who sits on finance, and he'll be taking a close look at that fiscal note too as it gets to the finance committee, where they are going to ask you a lot more detailed questions on the amount and if whether or not it's even needed. So if there's not any other questions from the committee at this time, I think everybody seems pretty pleased with the bill. Thank you, Senator Davis, for introducing this very timely and important subject matter. With that, Senator Stevens, or Senator Thomas. Sorry, man. Okay, Senator Thomas.
You're looking for the will of the committee?
Yes, please.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we move Senate Bill 137 from committee with individual recommendations and the attached fiscal note.
Okay. Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, Senate Bill 137 is moved out of the Education Committee onto the Senate Finance Committee. So with that, our next meeting is January 25th, which is Wednesday. It's going to be in room 124, which is the Ramona Barnes Resource Committee room. This is a joint committee hearing. We're going to be addressing Alaska Early Childhood Coordinating Council, or we're going to be hearing from them. We'll be talking again about the pre-K education that's going on throughout the state, and they're going to be reporting their findings to us. They have been meeting over the interim. We'll adjourn at 9 o'clock as normal, although the House does go for 2 hours, so if anyone would like to stay over, we're certainly welcome to do that. So with that, there's nothing else to come before the committee. Let's start the – why don't you start here with Senator Thomas since he has to leave. Okay. There's nothing else to come before the committee, then we are adjourned.